Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Right. Hello, this is Red News Podcast 92 and a happier camp, I think, than we were last time. And apologies for swearing because I listened back and I was like, oh my God, it gets worse. I feel like sometimes I'm that twat in Forrest Gump, you know, goes, ah, oh, this damn war. And sometimes my emotions, it's not deliberate, they just run away with me and I get worked up about United, but I shouldn't. That's appalling. I can't teach my son about language and all that and then use stuff like that. So sorry, and I'm sure I'll go again. But yeah, brilliant. Obviously, Ollie has a knack whenever we feel low that he can turn it around. And I've been feeling a bit down recently, just like everyone, I've had a bit selfish moments, just sick and tired. And I'm all right. I haven't had it. I might have had it, but I'm all right. We're all right. But I'm just really fucking tired of all this shit now. And I was just feeling a bit down. And United can come along and lift the spirits. And you know my feelings about behind closed doors. But Newcastle, watching match of the day felt a very strange experience. But I did enjoy it. I'm glad I didn't give them any money. That's not a knock. If you did, I know no one wants to fucking do the devil, a dance with the devil. But watching it, you only got a limited amount. But last night, I felt like there's about three or four games during this whole period. The first one at Spurs where I wanted us to equalise, then Brighton with Fernandes' goal. And last night, I was buzzing. It actually, you just get transported and you don't actually think for a minute. You're not thinking about the no crowd not being there. You're just caught up. And I said it in the tweet, fair play to Paris Saint-Germain. Because both sides had a go. They didn't get caught in the this is a training ground atmosphere that some, you know, we've accused some games of being at. They absolutely went for it. And it was so pleasing. Now, I don't want this podcast to be a knee jerk. We're high, then we're low, so low after results. But United are still, although we are better, we are improving, we are still a sometimes one step forward, two step backs side. And I want us to go away from that. Now, we can generally see improvement. And games like yesterday, more than Newcastle even show, we have got the seeds of something. And if we can just get it more consistent, but then we've won 10 away. So maybe sometimes I'm being unkind. But I just feel the next five games are as important as under any that we've had under Ollie. Why? Because you don't want to have that step back. You want to go, right, we are making a statement. Ollie said the start of the season was down to, pre-season, not having the players, not fitness. So let's go and prove it. I don't want to come back here in a couple of weeks and think, oh, we're reverting back to what we were saying last month and the month before. But credit where credit's due, where I was feeling, I was so wanting to succeed like everyone. But you get a feeling like, you know, is he being impactful on the tactical side? Is he impacting with his subs? Yes, he's done that. And fair play. He has always maintained his dignity. And when you see Ollie smiling like last night, you feel like the gods of United are good again and we're smiling. So I'm going to go, the house party's playing up a bit. So it's a bit of a mismatch, this one. We're waiting on Coggy and Jav. I'm not sure if they're going to join us, but we've got 25 minutes this first segment and then we're going to go to the cellars. So I'm joined by Finno, Graham and Shane, and I'm going to go to Finno first. How are you doing, mate? Lockdown, Finno.
Yeah, good, Barney. Yeah, not too bad. Hasn't gone too bad for us, but like I was saying earlier, into this level 5 from tonight for another 6 weeks, the plan being that we by December 1st, we're able to ease back out before Christmas. But look, everybody's sceptical about that, to be honest. But look, what can you do when you get on with it? Anyway, as you say, the football, the last 4 days in particular, has cheered us up, us United fans anyway, because obviously it was a poor start to the season. And the international break, you know, we always moan about it, but probably this time around it was welcome. You know, in the sense, it was such a horrific result and performance against Spurs, notwithstanding we went to 10 men and all that sort of stuff. But we obviously needed it, and that's been borne out by what's happened since. So Ollie obviously had his mind made up about what he was going to do, and you know, it's worked out. And as you say, last night was a great buzz. Saturday was a great buzz. I had the game as part of my regular subscription. I've been trying to stress that, so rather than buy the game separately, I was making sure that, you know. But yes, I paid for it indirectly by having a Sky subscription. But we had it on Premier Sports over here, because they're allowed to show a match in the Republic of Ireland each weekend. So that was the game, obviously, typically, you know, going to choose Newcastle United. So I managed to watch it live. Listen, it was great. And listen, getting two late winners, if you like, almost, because you could argue that Bruno's goal on Saturday, what a goal. Yeah. What a move. And but to get it with whatever it was, 4 minutes of normal time, you know, that there's nothing like a late goal. I know we went on to get two more, but in effect, it was a winner, you know. And obviously last night again, totally deserved to win. But I probably would have been happy with a draw, in the sense of going to Paris, get a draw. But I think after, we would have been tinged with a little bit of regret had we not have won it, because I think we deserved to win it.
Yeah.
So to actually win it in the manner, you know, very good goal, great for Rashford, but great for Ollie. Real buzz, Barney, as you said.
There was a buzz. I would, like we've said about Ollie in decisions, he's made brave calls about Pogba, and I don't think it's coincidence that we've improved without Pogba. And when he comes on, you can almost encourage him to be a bit more braver and put him in a more forward role. But I would say, you know, the players we've been critical of, and where De Gea has had a couple of belting games, hopefully that's pressure from Henderson. And I thought Nick is right, you know, that five, it sure works. Where I was really worried about it, he did a couple of covers yesterday where you think, well, what, you know, maybe it's too long, but where are the mistakes coming from? That if he can do that, you know, but the bonus for me was Axel chasing back Mbappe. I could inject that video into my blood where he kept pace with him, forced Mbappe to try for a penalty. And that's his first game for us. I know Villa. But if you have the confidence to face that, then please stay fit. And Coggy's joined us. So I'm going to go to Graham. Your thoughts, mate? And hello.
Hello, thank you for the invite. Really, in terms of the Newcastle game, what interested me was where he was going to change it after Tottenham. I mean, a lot of people were saying the defence were broken. It was their problem. But largely, it didn't change at all. And it was the midfield protection that changed. Now, I've been listening to some people. There's an old geezer on another forum who says you have to start Matter and James as part of the three, and because of the shape. Well, I thought, well, that maybe that won't happen, but he did. He made some very decisive calls on Saturday, and they had such control of that game. The only thing that was bothering me was it was taking so long to win it, because they were gonna beat Newcastle at some point, but I was so nervous that it took 80 odd minutes.
But as Finno said, that's a good sign of patience, that we can be more patient and less desperate than we have been in the past. But I think McTominay's made a difference. He's sort of added an extra layer that we, you know, we're not getting rolled over. But can I, Graham, this is a wider point. You were quite critical, like we all were, of the transfer window, and you felt wary of where United's, you know, structure, that we've said, what kind of structure?
Yeah. I mean, the window, again, from it's difficult to say credible sources, but the ones that are generally right, they were saying that he wanted Grealish, he wanted Sancho, and he wanted a centre-half, and he got none of them. I can understand balking at the Grealish price, because that was really big. But there was never a question that they were ever going to get a centre off. It just wasn't happening. And to turn up with Cavani on the, I mean, a couple of days before, I mean, okay, if it had been on the agenda in August or July and said, look, we need to cover Ighalo when he's off in January, then you can kind of see it. But the fact that they put that deal through.
Well, and he's still on quarantine when in theory you'd like him with us. You know, that's where the planning. I mean, they've announced the financials today. And as I said, you read my editorial for the views on sod their violins as they still confirm the dividend, you know, and they fluff their social media stats. But I think what the depressing part, where we've praised United for so many things in the pandemic, just obviously the greed is now entering with pay-per-view, the shoddiness of wanting, when people are skint, people are bereft, people are down, people are depressed, to want to charge them 15 quid. And then this ungodly mix of project bollocks and then project other bollocks, you know, like the European Super League, Champions League rights end in 2024. Yeah. You know, what's happened to the World Club Championship that they were talking about? That's really, you know, the actual, it says like beyond Ollie, you start getting depressed about the club again. But I'll go to Shane next. Coggy's joined us. Last night, what I love about these moments like last night is you start to dream again. And then I'm suddenly thinking, as Shane booked a hotel room in Istanbul, suddenly the coronavirus has dwelled in March and we can start. And I start a little bit of dreaming that think, if we can do something like this, I just don't want it taken away from me, Shane.
Yeah, it was funny. During the game on one of the WhatsApp groups, I sort of said, oh, I'm thinking of booking Istanbul now. And old Paul come on and said, don't worry, it's already done, you know, it's great. But yeah, but it is good to have that buzz, and I did have a buzz last night. I think, going back to not, well, I'm going to start with a negative, I think two kind of, what summed up the last kind of week or two for me was like a real low football-wise, not in life, but I know there's bigger things at stake in the world at the moment, but a low for me was the pay-per-view, you know, already feeling a bit detached from the game. You know, behind closed doors further takes us away from the sort of experience that we all know and love. And then to sort of like, it's like a kick in the bollocks really, that when we need it least, you know, to introduce pay-per-view at this point in terms of, you know, it's a fucking global pandemic and you choose this moment to introduce that. It's just pure opportunism that it's really crass. And that really kind of like made me feel quite detached from football. And by extension, I was a bit angry that it made me feel a bit detached from the Newcastle game. You know, there's no way I was going to pay for it. I kind of didn't watch it. So I felt quite detached. But then a really small gesture last night, like obviously the football was a buzz, but the thing that made me go to bed really feeling chirpy was post-match on BT Sports. And I think he did it on MTV as well, but the first thing that Solskjaer said was it felt a bit sterile without fans in the ground. Yeah. And that, like, just that small sentence, I know it's only words, gave me a real lift that here was the kind of someone in our club recognising us, understanding the importance of us. And I thought that, you know, it is a small,
well, you might
few words, but it meant a great deal. So I thought they were two extremes.
Yeah.
Because the club itself, you know, on pay-per-view, like, as far as I'm concerned, you know, they done fuck all for us, you know. I didn't hear anything, any emails, no kind of acknowledgement of it. But so that meant a lot last night for Solskjaer. As for the football, Newcastle, I didn't watch. It confirmed one thing for me, that match of the day is utter garbage. You know? So I can only comment on the goals. God knows how Lineker earns that salary. Jesus wept. That's money for
us. But they don't actually show much of the game, do they? They don't show much of the game. They just show them. But I did think Shearer's scrotum head, and he was smiling. I thought, we've lost this. But so to know, to get up, that was quite old school, to get up, you know, and jig a dance after a few beers. The only shame about last night was I was sober, so I watched it without a drink. That would have ticked it off. Sorry, Shane.
Well, I watched it. And to be honest with you, the buzz for me was not only we got a result, but we actually deserved it. You know, he set us up well, as you've all said already. We've been quite critical, and he should be criticised as manager of Manchester United. You know, managers are going to get scrutiny. So, but it works both ways, and he set us up well last night, and made changes in the game that had an effect. And I thought, as Spino said, it would. You know, I went from at the start of the game, if you'd offered me a draw, I would have snapped your arm off. And it went to sort of like towards the end, thinking it's going to be disappointing to draw this, and that was a I thought Axel was superb at the back. I thought Wan-Bissaka was immense. I thought Fred, again, it's funny, in the Champions League, was so effective at breaking up the play. I thought just putting his boot in and then laying the ball off simply, I thought he was superb.
Yeah, Fred played well.
I thought, De Gea, it was good. I think De Gea had, like, it was good for him to have a match where he made a few saves, but big saves at big moments. So, yeah, a real buzz last night.
But I would say, I mean, the extremes that you say, Ollie and the suits, that is pretty much the dilemma we face as United fans with the club that we still hold dear, run by these people who don't care, you know. But that's not an argument that's not going to go away that we've had a thousand times. I would say that whereas United have been getting me down, the beauty of what our love for the club is when you're feeling low, that it can transport you. So I wasn't thinking about, you know, I usually sometimes put the news on after, just before bed. I didn't think that last night. No fucking depression. No, you know, just think. But I would say Rashford, he's not getting much mentions, but we questioned his fitness, you know, what he was. He started this season, the goal at Brighton, he is bang. He's doing what we all said, you know, get the goals. Right, Coggy, sorry, at long last, mate.
Yeah, hi, lads. First of all, bearing in mind it was Euro away, I want to know whether old Paul turned his television off at 60 minutes and went to his kitchen to have a few drinks, because he never sees a full like Euro away, does he? Yeah, I mean, last night, I mean, if this had been like this time last week, I was so depressed about it. Following the, you know, the Spurs game, and what a difference two games makes, and I think it sums up United really. We can be shocking one week and absolutely superb the next. I'm not going to go overboard on Tunzebe because he was only up against Neymar and Mbappe, so I'm not going to get carried away with that, like all of you are. But I just thought. They showed spirit against Newcastle after going a couple of goal down after a couple of minutes. They showed spirit last night after the own goal. And United teams in the past, you know, confidence have been quite fragile, and they would have buckled on both of those occasions. And maybe with a crowd in the ground, they would have done as well. But I think the show did determination and spirit in both those last two games. You know, when they were faced with a little bit of adversity. I still think we missed too many chances. I think decision making for both Pep and Martial last night was shocking, and is generally, in my opinion. But I'm looking forward to see Cavani, because I think if he'd have played last night, he would have walked away with a couple of goals late in that second half. So I think that's exciting.
Just going back to transfers.
We have got a strategy on transfers. It's buying young players aged 16 to 18 from European clubs to bring them through. We haven't got it at first team level, but hand on heart, I never expected us to pay big money for anyone in the summer because, A, because of COVID, B, because of Bruno being bought in January, and it was preempted in the fans forum by Woodward before the end of the season, saying money's tight, etc. So I think anybody expecting really Sanchez or centre half, in my opinion, was a bit naive. It was never ever going to happen.
But knowing that that's their way they operate, then okay, we can sort of see the constraints of this summer. But they've taken 2 billion out, and I know none of you are disagreeing with me. But what makes it laughable is then Woodward coming out today saying we do all we can to win trophies. Well, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You know, let's cut the chase. If you wanted us to speed up this, but there is a question. I will say there's one well-known Red who did go to Paris in the vain hope that when they were thinking it might be 10,000, he might get in, so he booked it. He learnt when he got out there, the bars closed at 9, and he had to do with on his hotel balcony with 10 cans of Heineken. So I thought at least there's a little. I text him saying, get out on the window and start singing United songs. You'll either have the streets full or you'll have the police after you for breaking lockdown. But right, here's a question for Graham. I'll start with you. So how do we, or will we, prevent this one step forward, one step back? Do you think we're moving on from that?
If I'm honest, I'm really concerned about the home form. If you look at the pattern since the restart, our problems have been less away from home we seem properly set up. I'm really concerned about what we do at home. I mean, if you look at what's coming up at the weekend, you know, we'll play Chelsea. We got away with it last year. We scored with every touch we had. You know, will they benefit playing away from home? I don't know. But strangely, the side that he went with in the running to the top three and in the Europa League, I'm beginning to wonder whether we'll ever see that again, because I don't think the three-pronged attack with Rashford, Martial and Greenwood offers protection, the right protection in midfield. And for me, I don't think it was a coincidence that Ollie changed the midfield and left the defence for Newcastle. I'm beginning to wonder what he can fit in.
Well, I think he sometimes wonders. But if Greenwood's on the naughty step, you know, not saying Greenwood in specific, but we have heard of a few cases of the youngsters taking a little bit of the piss, and the tabloids will be ripe for trying to hear about it. So I'm glad, you know, the question is, Ollie got the night, you know, is he too nice? All these things he's sort of answering. No. But Finno, what do you think?
Just to say, Barney, like going on Graham's point, it is a worry. Couple of bit, I think it's three home games in a row now. Is it Chelsea? Four, is it? Yeah. So I mean, it's interesting because obviously we look like we're set up to play in the counter attack. Even though in saying that Newcastle didn't exactly press us at the weekend, and no. we still managed, you know, to find a way to win the game. Which you'd imagine, okay, Chelsea are going to be a better side. Arsenal are going to be a better side. I'm sure Leipzig are. So we need to find a way to beat these teams. And he found a way to win the last two games, but some great individual performances have helped him. And the players hadn't been playing well, you know. And then you see the likes of what Mata did last weekend, superb. Bruno was suddenly looking absolutely like the player we thought he was. You know, Rashford playing up front, like that's what I call a front position.
Yeah,
stuck out in the wing of a three-man, you know, three-pronged attack. Basically working off the touchline. To me, Rashford proved, okay, he's not clinical. He's not he doesn't finish the amount of chances he should do. And last night he even proved that when he was through more or less twice and made, you know, incorrect decisions. Certainly looking at it from what I was looking at. But he's definitely more of a threat playing in that central role for us up front.
And I
hope we can exploit that now in games to come.
And he's 22, you know, and if there is a benefit, you'd hope, Rashford said Zlatan did kick him on a bit. So you hope. What I will say, though, Fernandez, sometimes when I kick my toys out of my pram, you know, like after Spurs, it's such an unnatural break, this, you know, that they've gone from, I know, Shane, you said about, but they had a big break, then they returned, then they had a small break. So it's not for the, and footballers are pretty stupid, so their rhythm is totally out of sync. But I've loved seeing Fernandez. You know, I want to see him fucking argue with our players. I want to see him show fight. And the good thing, Ollie hugged him, you know, he's made two shrewd things, Ollie. If there was a little bit of tension after Spurs, he went over to him at the end of the Newcastle game and walked off the pitch with him, hugging him. And the second thing is surprising him with that captaincy. So it's almost said, we might have had a little disagreement at, you know, at Spurs, but I want to see a bit of that as well. You know, I'm not against that. Right, Shane, Coggy, we've got about 5 minutes left. So go on, anyone want to say?
The one thing I've kind of, a bit of positivity is, for me, in that run after lockdown, he was clearly wedded to an 11, and the likes of Mata were kind of like resigned to the bench, and he was very reluctant to use them. And it was only that, like, which was a mistake by Ollie. I'm positive about that. And we've talked about it before, you know. And yet in the semi final, he mixed it up against Chelsea, and I think threw away a good chance of winning the cup. But he generally, to me, showed he had a distrust of those kind of what you'd call fringe players, for want of a better term. But this season so far, those players have responded well, and he's used them. And Mata, you know, credit where credit's due, has taken his chance well when he's been used. And I think, you know, Ollie's got to show faith in those. He has this season. And if we can, you know, we have got a lot of games with the Champions League, and it's promising to me that we can kind of mitigate tiredness and injuries by using more of the squad a bit more cleverly. So I think we're capable of going on a run. I think we're liable to always have those blips every now and then. But yeah, I think there's room to be positive.
The Donny thing's a bit odd, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I just think with Donny that, you know, he's fine for 5 years. I mean, you know, if it takes him 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, whatever, to establish himself and fit in, you know, we've still got plenty of time. So, you know, I can understand people being concerned, but, you know, let the guy just
settle. Oh, yeah, but Coggy.
And that's, feed his way into the club and the team.
I agree, but that sparked off with his agents moaned to about four different press organisations about that he doesn't find it right. So, you know, what did you expect? But also, again, we're in an era where this happens. They don't even give it a year anymore. They kick off after 1 month. You know.
Well, Coggy, he's two games a week now till December, till Christmas probably. He's got a feature. He's got to find out what he's capable of. Like, so I think he will use him. It's just a question of which games and in what role does he use and what way does he see him. This is what we're not sure of.
Yeah.
What role does he have for Van der Beek and Tim?
But I've liked what I've seen of him though. He's not come in and not played badly. Like Newcastle, he almost changed our initiative.
For me, the first big move from Ollie was dropping Pogba against Newcastle. You know, we all agreed with him, but I think it was a bold move to make because with his agent and what Pogba's like and that is now creating a different mentality within the squad and the team and Van der Beek's opportunity will come. I actually think we should use the same formation on Saturday that we did last night. It gives us width. Telles, I think, had a fantastic debut. It gives us width. Wan-Bissaka gives us a bit more width. And playing two up front, Rashford and Cavani, and, you know, Bruno behind them.
Yeah.
I'd probably stick with McTominay and Fred as well in midfield. And far from perfect players, but they do work well together.
Telles encourages me. I would say, obviously, the Romero, you know, the farce of why we didn't let him leave and Phil Jones just not being given is just baffling, you know. And I actually feel, as I've said this before, sorry for a player on 100 grand a year. Right, to end it, sorry this has gone quick, lads, but we'll get it properly and we'll get you on again. But Graham and Finno, we talked to Finno earlier in lockdown, but how are you coping with not being at games?
It's difficult. Because the weekends are spent probably running, and actually that's been taken away because one of the group tested positive this week.
Oh, fuck's sake!
So now I've got to. I haven't done it yet, but I've got to start running alone. But yeah, it's. I might as well be in isolation here because there's nobody around. Because I'm obviously back in Chatteris. But it's funny because I've been whilst I was quite down in the dumps after Mourinho was fired and just the general way the club was said they were going, and I never believed them, and I kind of got the belief back, and then we had that sudden transfer window, which was a real car crash. I mean, it was. There's no dressing it up. And that was kind of disconcerting, but I thought, hang on a minute, we'll kick off again. We'll see how it goes. And Newcastle was a big fillip. You know, I really enjoyed the fact that he made big decisions. It worked. And PSG has given us, you know, a real hope. Okay, we'll probably get a kick in the teeth again.
But that's what I don't want,
but I'm enjoying
it. That's what I don't want, Graham. I'd be gutted if we don't, you know, if we keep this dance going, but knowing that we are better. Right, Finno, how are you coping now, mate? You would have been there last night with Coggy and Shane.
The games, I'm missing the games, but I have to be honest because I've been asked this question loads of times, and we all know, we spoke about it before, we all know that there'll be some sort of gradual return to football, whenever that might be, whether it's the new year, the spring or whatever. I'll be honest with you, I'm not, it's not appealing to me. I mean, could you imagine being at Newcastle socially distanced with masks, and Bruno to score that goal with 4 minutes to go. Like, yo, you're not allowed to jump around on everybody. Like, I just want to go back when it's like it was. I don't know when that'll be, but that's the way I want it to be. And that's what I'm aiming for and looking forward to. It might be a year. It could even be 18 months. I hope it's sooner. But then there's big crowds in Kiev last night, crowds in Zenit. You know, we don't know. Things could be quicker maybe, but we're looking at the spring, the earliest.
Yeah.
The very earliest.
I'll take any bit of hope now, you know, off the pitch. Because it just feels it's dragged on and on.
Right,
Istanbul will all be there. Right, lads, I'll get you on properly next time. Sorry it's a bit skewed, but thanks for coming on, lads.
No worries.
All right, cheers.
Thanks, lads.
See you later.
Take
care. Right, so I'm joined by Nick and Nathan. So this is a bizarre because we had too many people. So we've just done a first segment and we haven't really sworn. We haven't really moaned. So it's good seeing both of your heads. And I would say, listening back to the last time, Nick's bit of positivity got me bouncing a bit. So maybe the players heard it. I sent Ollie a link in a text. But sort of you restored a little bit of a buzz. And we've seen a bit of happiness. So how are you feeling, lads?
I'm really excited to hear Nathan's comments before we start. I'm wondering how we can put a negative spin on the last two games. So I'm very much looking forward to that in awe. Not to hark on about me always being right, but if we just play 3-5-2, then everything will be okay.
I would say, and I'll say it without anything sticking in my throat, fair play, Nick, and Luke Shaw, my reservations. For one game, let's see how we do against other teams. But it does, it makes us look a lot more, it makes us look like a defence rather than a scary fucking film in motion.
Well, we said that Luke Shaw's played his best football since he's broke his leg in that left centre-back role. And I just don't understand why, if we're going to persevere by playing him because we've got no other fit defenders, why we don't play him in that role. And it just is more to the point. The thing I want to see with this formation, though, is because it blatantly suits where we are. We've been waiting for someone on the left-hand side to put a cross in. You know, for ages, a naturally left-sided player. So it's great to see Tellez coming in and having a good start for 70 minutes. He's the most against smaller teams. I want to see us play against, like, Bournemouth at home. I know they got relegated, but you get my point. Against those smaller teams, because it allows...
Hang on, your sound shit.
...to play with two up front in the midfield, where we don't lose our shape as much, and we're not susceptible to attacks like you see against Spurs. We're more organised, we're more well-drilled, and to me, it just makes complete sense. And if we don't see it going forward from after last night, then I'll start losing hope again. But it's blatantly the way forward for this side. And I don't know why we keep skirting around with it. We just need to find a way to have this wonderful away record and bring it into playing Old Trafford and playing with no fear, playing in that formation. And I'm confident results will come because you've seen last night, this team is capable. Okay, it was against the PSG side that weren't fully fit. The missing Verratti, I think, makes a massive difference. Every time I see him, I think he's brilliant. You know, so we've got to scale it back a little bit. They're still missing Thiago Silva, who was massively important for them. I know he's moved on. But it's still encouraging. This team has definitely got something. And we just need to make sure that we can carry that momentum at home. And I tell you what, we'll be fucking scary. Why can we be a million miles away behind City? We beat them 3 times last year. So I know you sat there smiling, and I'm sorry that I'm optimistic, but I've been optimistic all along because I've been waiting for this formation and waiting for a natural left-sided player. I'm still waiting for a natural right-sided player, and I don't think we're that far away.
But last night made me think we're not that far away. But I've said in the early part, the split into two, that I don't want to be the knee-jerk that we bounce, you know, from complete, like, giddiness, you telling us how great it's going to be, to me feeling flat. I want us to get some semblance of what, and we've said this before over the last 2 years, what are United? And we're definitely better than 2 years ago. We're certainly better than a year ago at the moment, but you've got to keep doing it. But would you play this formation every game then? Because surely you've got to chop and chain.
Well, I think you should always... At the end of the day, I don't like it when we adapt for other teams. I've never liked that. I never liked it when Fergie used to do it, when we had to set up shop. It's, you know, we should have the arrogance about United that we set up with the way that we play, and you're going to have to worry about what we do. I don't want to worry about what the teams are doing. You know, if you've got the right players, you should take the game to them. And certainly at Old Trafford, we should do it. But
yeah,
okay, we play very well. We have to learn that side of the game, and all these been here for 18 years now, hasn't it? And we're still not quite developed that. I think that this formation helps us do that because it helps players that, you know, struggle in positional awareness, like Shaw, sometimes McTominay and Fred get a bit giddy and get caught out. This formation helps them utilise their best skill set. And you've seen that over the last couple of games. It's just it's,
skill set taken.
I don't think that this game is particularly difficult. Steve says it all the time. Doesn't he?
I agree with that, Nick. But my underlying, I'm trying not to. I'm giddy. I was so happy last night. That's the happiest I've felt in months. How United can transport you into a good place. But I just think if Shaw has it very big issues, then he can. We know he's got skill and his quality at times, so he can do it. But we need players who do it 8, 9, 10 games out of 10. That's all I'm saying. So I'm trying to. I was floating on cloud nine last night. I don't want to be brought back down to earth next week. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's fine. Okay, you say that about doing 8, 9, 10 games at, you know.
But that's what we need to.
But that's fine. But look at this formation and how many bad games is Shaw had in this formation.
No, all right, yeah.
Because I'm struggling to name one. I don't think he's been particular an unbelievable world beater, but I'm talking a 7 out of 10. He's not making mistakes. He's in there. He was clearing last ditch crosses coming into the box. So I mean, if that's what you're after, this formation gives us that.
All right, Nathan, where are you on the nickometer of giddiness?
For me, it's been a nice week, hasn't it? I was nervous before the game yesterday, but then just as soon as it started, it was like the one word that the overriding feeling that I had from last night was just calmness. There was no panicking, you know, and I don't know if that's like, I can't remember whether we said it on here or if it was just in a group or something when a few weeks ago it was being said about the thing that Maguire needs is someone steady next to him. And I said, who's to say it's not the other way around, that the likes of Lindelof need someone better than Maguire, who is calmer alongside him, to make it really click. And last night was, like we say, like Tuan Zabi was incredible. Lindelof had a great game. Like we say, Shaw had a great game in that position. Like, that was the thing that PSG, like, they only had a few good chances, but that was the thing. Even De Gea looked like the De Gea of old at times, and it's sort of a case of does he feel more confident because he knows that the people in front of him are less panicky and are more calm and are just I don't know. Last night it just felt like a back defensive line that weren't going to panic no matter who they were facing, and it bred from that point that everyone on the pitch just looked like they knew what the job was and they weren't fazed by what they were facing. And that's something that I could say isn't the case a lot of the time in recent months. So
it was one of those special nights where everything, you know, you could almost say no bad performances. I know I'm not even going to mention a certain name to Nick, apart from
you know what was really funny about that, though, actually, is because I looked at a poll, pardon me, after the game, and it was a man of the match poll. It was like, vote for who you think the man of the match was last night. And the spread of the vote was so even. Everyone was at like 12-13%. There were so many people they could have chosen, but the only two people who didn't have a vote was Lindelof, which I thought was a little harsh because I thought he was great, and Martial, which I thought was very, very funny. But everyone else said that was around about 11-12%. So whoever won must have won by like 1%.
I think De Gea was the official.
I'd have given it Axel because
there you go. But so whoever it was must have only won by 1%.
Axel got me going last night, as I said, that Mbappe, I watched that about five or six times, him just running and keeping up with him and then just saying, no, you're not getting past me.
Brilliant.
And the tackle in, I think, the first half where he cleared. And I just thought, authority in our box, what's this all about? I've not seen this in a while.
That's what I'm saying. It's good to see. And, you know, I don't want to say that Maguire hasn't got that.
But he's
all the time, but it, you know, there have been times where it's looked very, very shaky at the back, and he's not made himself look the best at times. And I know this is only one game that he wasn't involved in that we looked good, but it did look good.
But it should be hopefully a kick up the arse to him, you know, like you're as culpable in all this. Your head hasn't been right. You're not. Haven't been at it. So, and Fernandes, I know obviously he's got a bit more going on, but Fernandes has managed to get himself back in the zone in a matter of 10 days. So that should be the message to all of them. You can fucking sort your shit out from being a bit of a mess, not, you know, to this. And you're just smiling, Nick. You've just got, and it's good. I'm not digging, mate. Let's take moments with United at the moment. But I just, you know, you realise, you know, when you sat, like maybe after Spurs, we're thinking, Ollie, a bit fearful. But my colours are so on the mask for him because he was interviewed afterwards. And I was so happy for his decency and how happy he was. And he was, you know, he didn't praise himself. It was purely on the team. It wasn't the Jose spiteful, I win this, you know, I psychologically show Shaw the way. It was pure for, he's taken all the flack, but the minute that he gets the win, the massive win, he praises every one of those players. And that they've got to realise that. And, you know, it was only 10 days ago that a few journos were saying he's not playing. They're not playing for him. So keep smiling, Nick.
Do you know what? One thing I'm thinking about this Saturday, though, I mean, obviously you've got to keep looking forward, is because for me, I play the same team again on Saturday and I keep momentum going. I personally don't see how he could just walk straight back into the team, club captain or not. I think you've got to earn your place in there. And he was great against Newcastle, obviously, he got man of the match. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Keep that momentum going. Because who do you drop out of three of them? Because all three of them were fantastic last night.
Mm. But is Axel going to be? Is he? Well, we don't know. Fitness wise, it's a lot to ask. I don't know, mate. But I mean, the Pogba. Do we stop talking about him now? Are we finally going a bit beyond this?
It seems like it. It seems. I don't like. Has he been like? It doesn't seem like he's been carrying a knock or anything. So he's actively choosing to not start him. So, you know, he came on. Last night, he had a few touches, he gave it away a couple of times, but that's the thing.
He did better than he didn't, but he is, isn't it now?
And,
but it, when, so. He, when he said, well, you know, for France about Real Madrid, and I know he was questioned about Zidane, and that, but whereas a year ago I might have been angry about it, I just can't be asked. You know, say every week about Real Madrid. I don't care.
Not losing sleep, but it's just not worth worrying about, is it? It's like, They've given him that extra extension on the contract, which essentially is just, if we can get a bit more money for him, then we will. And I think that's it, really. I think just he'll be here for as long as he is, and then when he's gone, and then just don't have to think about him.
And that's a better place to be.
I don't mind him. I think that he's good to bring off the bench when you've got tight legs at an opposition.
Of course, he's an impact player, that's what he always has been. But almost, you're saying that's like Ollie or Henrik Larsson, but to revisit old rows, we're talking about supposedly one of the best 10 elite players in the world. But we've done this one to death. I would say, on the note of naked Alexi Sales, I was reminded of an incident on the way to Dortmund in 98, in Dortmund, that me and a well-known red called Martin went in the sauna on the morning of the game because we were rough. And we were wearing shorts, and about an 80-year-old German woman came in. And she started shouting, strip, 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 and then dragged us and grabbed us and showed the sign, clothes off. So the only woman in my life who's demanded me take my clothes off was an 80-year-old in a sauna. So perhaps saunas are good places for me. Right, go on, you two.
You said that was in Dortmund. That reminds me of when me and Nick were over in Germany one time, and we were in Dortmund, and we just came across a shop that was called the Sexy Dog Company.
And he just sold sexy outfits for dogs.
There I am. Oh, my God.
Not a word of a lie. Genuinely sold sexy outfits for dogs. And it wasn't a small shop either. It was a very, very large, very large shop. It must be making some serious money. So if you're ever in Dortmund, make sure you check out the Sexy Dog Company.
After the chicken story this week in the news, I don't think we go there. But what I did laugh was when we talked about that and I said, have you got any naked celeb stories? Nathan went, I'll have a think. And I just thought, oh, to have that in your possibilities, like you might not know. Right, so what?
No.
I just don't. I'm still on court in a post Paris. Obviously, gutted we weren't there. Wish we were there now on Saturday because it'd be a big atmosphere. You know, people, good drink beforehand for people. I just don't want to be here in a week's time or 2 weeks' time. But you're confident, Nick. You think this is, we turned a corner.
Like I say, you know, Ole's away record speaks for itself. You know, obviously it was doing the rounds again last night, but, you know, we know we're great away from home. I don't particularly worry. It's why I said to you last night, I'm not worried about going to PSG away. I wasn't, you know, bricking it or anything. But if we get something, I thought it'd be a 2-2 draw, as I said to you. But, you know, it's figuring out how you play at home. And, you know, Chelsea are obviously, they're not mugs, but they're very, very beatable. They've got issues. I look at Leipzig next week and I think that's probably going to be a hard game at home. So, yeah, I'm still confident, still optimistic, but we've got work to do at home. And like I say, if we can master this formation that suits our team, suits the players that we have, then, yeah, I'll be more confident than if we start reverting it back to this three up front and three in the middle that doesn't quite fill me with a lot of confidence at Old Trafford, and it gets you beat and you give too much space to Crystal Palace and Spurs and teams like that, and West Ham like we did at the end of last season.
I think even when we were, you know, after the transfer window in Spurs, we still said that our squad has ended the transfer window stronger than we started it. So we weren't, you know, we were trying to see a bigger picture. And as you said, I saw something last night, but I'm just not as carried away with you because we've just had so many kicks in the bollocks. But it just, you know, repeating myself, but it just felt nice to fucking not think. When United don't make you think. I've got to ask you, would you be counted as millennials? Are you millennials? I've lost count. I'm that old, I don't even know what. But pay-per-view.
I think we might be a bit too old for them. I think we're just a bit too old for millennials.
Oh, how sad is that? But
what are millennials if you were born after 2000? Is that not what one is?
Oh, is it?
No, I think it's when you like come of age in the 2000s.
That's what I thought it was.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
I thought it was when you were born in like 2000 onwards. So no.
No, because they said that. They no. I don't think it's Gen Z. Anyway, I wish I'd not asked this, but my point was pay per view. 15 quid. I take it neither of you paid it.
No. Oh no! I think it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like. That story about the Newcastle fans boycotting it and giving the money to the food banks instead, that was brilliant. I think that's a really good idea. And have you seen today that basically Sky and BT are refusing to release figures of how much they made? Because they've obviously just made nothing. Yeah. Like, I can't see a lot of people having done it. But it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Well, the thing, what was the game the next day that was 0-0? I just thought, reap what you sow, you know.
West Brom, Burnley.
Yeah. And for me, I'd say I did the match today and it had a unique, like, allure of yesteryear that I did enjoy. It was torture, but it felt lovely. And I also thought, I'm not going to pay it this season. You know, I'm just not. No. I'm refusing to do it. For every game, I'll do that route. It matches the day, even if I presume they'll try and get slaughterers for a biggie. But it's just repulsive. And all this, you know, the European Super League and 28 games. Do you really want to see 28 games in Europe? No.
No. I've got no interest in the Super League. I quite like the format of the Champions League, if I'm honest. I mean, the group stages can get a bit tedious, can't they, sometimes? But for us at the moment, it seems to be a bit of a challenge. But
there was one season where we had two. Martin Edwards loved it. Two group stages. Can you imagine how bad that was? I think it was the late 90s. We had Fiorentina. It were two group stages. Fuck. And that was before Christmas. I just think football's lost. We know it's lost its compass, but it's especially now to be doing all this and to be It's like all those billionaires who made all that, you know, they've made a lot of money during a pandemic. It's like football has realised we can really make a power grab, and it's repulsive.
Could
agree more.
Well, come on then, Nick. Let's final minutes. Hit.
I'm for Saturday. I feel quietly confident because I think, like you say, if we had the signs were there last night, and then like Chelsea have had a few like I don't listen to it often, but I had TalkSport on before, and there was a few Chelsea fans because they only drew again last night, didn't they? So they've had a few like the last two games haven't been the best for them, so obviously they've got something they need to kick on and earn, like get back to form on Saturday. But it sort of gives us a bit of an advantage that we're like on a high again, whilst they're not quite doing so well. So, but I don't know, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, but my arse starts quivering like a blowerfish when Nathan is quietly confident. The whole yin and the yang of this is gone. This if ever there's a bump ahead, it's Nathan feeling quietly confident. Sorry, mate.
You're not to carry on being negative.
Sorry.
The fact that we've got someone who can take a corner is nice as well.
Well, tell it. So there's a lot of possibilities. And, you know, Cavani, who knows, comes on a sub. I liked his sweating picture, so that got me going as well. Axel and Mbappe. And Cavani's covered in sweat like... Actually, look, let's end that here.
I know that it was probably someone... It was someone trying to find a story after the fact, but I saw someone sharing before quite a lot of pictures of Cavani training with Tu and Zabi. And basically they were saying that was him giving him the lowdown on how to deal with Neymar and Mbappe. And I hope that was the case, but it could easily have just been coincidence that they were photographed with each other. But it is quite good to think that that's what he was doing.
But if you can handle that...
I hope it's not the case.
And what I
not be the case, and he's done it himself.
And I would say, how lovely was it to see Di Maria stropping around as well, you fucking twat.
That was
a beautiful aside to yesterday that I thought you twat.
And Herrera as well, don't forget that, my bad.
Well, yeah, where's your interview? I don't speak about United. I just do another interview with The Telegraph speaking about United. And quick plug for the mag. I hope you've all enjoyed the badge. Look, that's a one-off. That's our one and only big gift to you all. But it's just a big thanks for all your support. And we've got about 40 mags left. If you can support us... We do need it. So, cheers. I wish you lot were selling on Saturday, but it is what it is, isn't it? You know. Go on, Nick. Pump us up. End on the highest high of highs.
Our future looks bright, you know. Like you said, you know, we've got a bit more depth now at the end of the transfer window. Okay, Martial suspended on Saturday, but hopefully that gives a good run out for Rashford up top, and... You know, hopefully we see a bit of Cavani. He gets on the end of some of these Telles crosses. Future's bright.
Hang on. Annoyed. You've just said, like, Martial being suspended is a negative, you fucking hypocrite.
What? No, I never said it was a negative. I said he's suspended. That's all. It was more of a
yeah, but you made out as if that was a bad thing.
I wouldn't care if I'd never seen him again, if I'm honest with you. I still don't like the guy, but I'm excited about seeing Cavani, and I think that, you know, I do think we're going to get a good Cavani. You know, I think he'll be better than Falcao, hopefully at Ibrahimovic level. So we're still plenty of positives, you know.
Fucking, after seeing Zlatan...
I see Donny van der Beek.
I know, but he looked good, as I said. But after seeing Zlatan against Inter last week, Jesus Christ, we should have got him in the transfer window. He's still got it.
He's
unbelievable. He defies age.
Sort of player, isn't he? So
he just defies age.
I was so gutted back when he got injured in that season.
Yeah.
He was brilliant.
Unfinished business. Ed will sign him at 39 or 40. Is he bringing us for winning us trophies? Right. I was going to say defies age like me, but then I'm staring at myself here and fucking thinking, Jesus, Victor Meldrew. Right, so I am going, 2-0. Glory, glory, Man United. Come on, you two.
3-1.
Bloody hell.
To us, for once.
Just making sure, I was going to ask you who that was.
Bloody hell. We may as well end these podcasts forever. We've got Nick, Nathan and me all smiling. Thank you, Ollie. Thank you, team in Paris. Come on, Nick.
I'll go 2-0. I quite like the idea of 2-0. You know, obviously they didn't score last night. As I say before, you know, they went 3-0 down away at West Brom. There's some issues in that Chelsea team, you know, and I think that if we can really turn up and we can go into it bouncing, you know, I feel slightly confident, but it would just be typical Man United to come crashing back down to
it. No, not least, there's some issues in that Chelsea side, not least half of them are knobs. But I will say, you know, everyone's finding it tough. It's getting shit here at the moment. So if United can cheer us all up and lift a bit of the gloom, fucking long may it continue. Right, cheers, lads. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. We'll speak next week.
See you later.
Cheers. See ya. See ya.